You're listening to Sea Change, a five-part series where we discuss how global changes affect your local places in Southeast Alaska. From the mountain rains to the icy waters of Sitka Sound, students in marine ecology bring examples of climate change and ocean acidification into focus for you.
What's up, KCAW? I'm Anissa Rizzo.
I'm Emma Wilson.
And I'm Michaela McCorkle. We are all marine biology majors at the University of California, Santa Cruz, and we're here on a marine ecology field quarter in Sitka for the month.
Yeah, so today the three of us are here to talk with you all about global warming and some of the many ways that it could affect folks here in Alaska. And we'd like to start off by reviewing the greenhouse effect. So the greenhouse effect is a naturally occurring process in which the sun's radiation gets trapped by greenhouse gases, such as carbon dioxide, that are naturally present in the atmosphere. And this happens because the sun gives off shortwave radiation that warms the Earth. And some of these get absorbed by Earth and others get reflected back into space as long waves. And the long waves have a much harder time leaving the atmosphere because greenhouse gases like CO2 have insulating properties. And this is actually a good thing because it allows for heat to be trapped at night, which keeps us alive when the sun isn't shining. But because we have so much more CO2 that's being emitted into the atmosphere, we have these stronger insulating properties, and it's causing the Earth's temperature to rise pretty fast. In passing, the fact past 5 decades, we've seen about a 3.4 degree increase in Alaska on average, and even up to a 6 degree increase in winter months.
Wow, that's a large increase. How do you think that's going to affect the snowfall here?
Well, it's expected that with years to come, temperatures are going to be well above freezing point. So I imagine that it's going to be a lot harder for snow to be formed. So maybe we'll be seeing a lot more rain instead. And all these different factors can actually lead to a number of environmental issues, such as aggressive storms. Emma, would you like to expand for us?
Sure. So the warming of the Earth that Anissa just talked about causes increased evaporation from bodies of water. So this, in addition to the thawing of permafrost, is causing lakes to get smaller. And permafrost is permanently frozen ground that remains at or below 0 degrees Celsius for at least 2 years. Also, more evaporation causes increased amounts of water in clouds, which then leads to heavier rainfall and more frequent storms, hurricanes, and floods. Warming here in Alaska has been accompanied by a 30% increase in rainfall, and this increase is one of the consequences of global warming that can affect people's everyday lives the most.
Really? How so?
Well, the amount of water that comes from heavy storms causes damage in two major ways. The first is flooding, which can wreck homes, streets, and businesses. And then the second is landslides, which have become a huge problem. In California, where we are all from, a landslide in Santa Barbara killed 13 people. And there was a landslide here in Sitka in 2015 that had devastating consequences. And when I did some research about it, in the reports I read about the tragedy, the cause of the landslide was increased rainfall. So this is a very real and eye-opening example of how the effects of global warming can change people's lives forever.
Yeah, it is really unfortunate, and it seems like we're running into tragic events like this more frequently. And as I mentioned earlier, there are a number of environmental issues that come from temperature increase. Michaela, do you have any other examples for us?
Yeah, so coming from temperature increase, you also get glacier melting and sea level rise. So a warmer climate, as you had mentioned earlier, Anissa, is causing glaciers and continental ice sheets to melt, which is sending increased volumes of fresh water into the sea, while increased temperatures cause thermal expansion of the ocean itself, resulting in a slow sea level rise. Thermal expansion is the increase in a volume of water, like the ocean, because of the rise in the temperature of the water.
Whoa, so how does this relate to glaciers and ice sheets in Alaska and here in Southeast more specifically?
That's a good question, Anissa. So most glaciers in Southeast follow a regional and global trend of accelerated melting. Rising temperatures have reduced the area of land covered by glaciers. And over the past several decades, perennial sea ice, which is frozen seawater that floats on the surface of the ocean and persists from year to year, has declined dramatically. September 2012 had the lowest sea ice extent, which is the area of ocean covered by ice, on record, being 49% below the historical average.
So is it just this perennial sea ice that we should be concerned about, or is there more to it?
No, so ice thickness is also declining, showing a 50% decrease in comparison to the historical average. Really good example of this is in Glacier Bay National Park, where the Muir Glacier has retreated more than 31 miles since it was first observed in the late 19th century.
Yeah, that's super massive. So do you know how this can directly affect folks here in Southeast?
Yeah, well, diminishing sea ice is opening up new opportunities for shipping, oil and gas exploration, tourism, and other economic activities. However, it's also creating a pathway for invasive species, and changes in sea ice can affect the timing and location of plankton blooms. which can affect the areas where commercial fisheries can thrive. This is especially relevant in relation to coastal towns like here in Sitka. As coastal erosion increases due to declining sea ice, residents are becoming more vulnerable, as Emma had mentioned earlier.
Yeah, so from what the two of you have shared with us, it really seems like reducing carbon emissions is a step in the right direction for everyone, especially considering that Sitka is a coastal town and a fishery hotspot. And in our class, we actually discussed a lot of ways to realize and reduce your carbon footprint. Do you two have any examples for us?
Yeah, so in our global change biology class, we did a carbon footprint activity. So if you Google that, you'll find a little quiz where you can input information about your personal life, and then the computer will calculate your estimated carbon emission per year.
And then you can compare it with your friends and see what's the smallest footprint, and then implement solutions into your everyday lives.
And even though we make fun of her for it, Anissa's vegan, so out of us three, she had the smallest footprint.
Yeah, so cutting meat and dairy out of your diet is a really good way to reduce your carbon footprint, considering the amount of emissions that the livestock industry produces. But also, hunting and foraging for your own food is a pretty good solution.
Some other ways you can cut your carbon footprint are by riding your bike to work, taking public transportation, carpooling, using secondhand clothing, or even changing to LED light bulbs.
Yeah, so unfortunately, that's all we have time for today. Thanks for tuning in, and have a good one.
Sea Change is a podcast produced by students from the University of California, Santa Cruz, with direction from Dr. Christy Croker. Our music is by Poddington Bear, and this series was done in collaboration with the Sitka Sound Science Center and KCAW.